from KQED.
This is the California Report podcast. I'm Polly Stryker.
And I'm Penny Nelson. Well, after many attempts to speak on the record with a PG&E insider, the California Report finally had a chance on Monday.
These are really important questions. Can I just have 2 moments of your time, 2 minutes?
We have to get him to the airport, please. Thank you.
That was PG&E board member Richard Kelly's entourage whisking him away after he briefly answered one question about the lack of transparency in the board process. The exchange took place as he left the California Public Utilities Commission hearing in San Francisco. The California Report's Lily Jamali has the story.
When PG&E replaced 10 board members this month, Governor Gavin Newsom was among the many critics saying Wall Street interests had won out. 5 of the 10 new picks are investors. PG&E's decision comes as the utility is in bankruptcy and under scrutiny for its role in causing wildfires. Monday, commissioners at the CPUC, that's the state regulator, grilled PG&E director Richard Kelly. He defended the choices to the California Report as he raced to his car after the hearing.
I think we've done a very good job, and I'm just thrilled to death that we got the opportunity today to put our story out and how important safety is to us.
Members of the CPUC, however, were less enthusiastic. One even asked whether board members should have term limits. Kelly said it was possible, but was noncommittal. For the California Report, I'm Lily Jamali in San Francisco.
There will be no commercial sardine fishing off the coast of California for the 5th straight year. Wildlife officials say populations of the small silvery fish have declined over 98% in Pacific waters since 2006. KQED's Peter Arcuni has details.
West Coast regulators have voted to ban commercial sardine fishing for the season, which would have begun July 1st. This comes on the heels of an assessment of Pacific sardines by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA. Jeff Schester, a marine biologist with the environmental group Oceana, says sardines play a major role in California oceans because everything from whales to pelicans, salmon, and shark rely on them for food.
And so these are the engines or the heartbeat of the ocean that is really supplying our entire ecosystem with the fuel it needs to be productive. And so when sardines collapse, the collapse just pulls the rug out from the entire ecosystem.
Schester says changing ocean temperatures are a big factor driving the decline. Overfishing, he says, is a threat, and the commercial ban gives sardines a chance to rebound. But Diane Pleschner-Steele with the California Wet Fish Producers Association says the fishermen she hears from say NOAA's sardine survey undercounts the fish.
Oh, they are so frustrated because they drive by school after school after school and they can't fish because this is their livelihood. And they have families and they are losing their jobs.
Pleschner-Steele's group has been working with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife on different ways to count sardines, including aerial surveys she hopes will be more accurate. For the California Report, I'm Peter Arcuni.
So now we're going to hear from another tech contract worker in our series on Silicon Valley's shadow workforce. This tech worker got into it after college because she needed a stable income.
I come from a single-parent household, and a lot of my friends, their parents are still helping them out. I'm only about 2 years out of college right now. And so for me, it was the exact reverse, where my mom was actually let go of her job that she had been at for almost 12 years. And so a lot of my extra money, you know, gets sent home.
This worker's Latina. Latinos, along with African Americans, are underrepresented in Silicon Valley's workforce, accounting for only about 5% of workers. Many who do get a tech job are not employees, but are contractors. The worker we just heard from had contracts at both Salesforce and the e-cig company Juul. We're not using these employees' names to protect their identities. She told KQED's Sam Harnett about the racial divide between employees and contract workers like her.
The only people that I see that look like me are cleaning up. They're, you know, doing custodial services. They're at the front desk greeting people. They're not actually in the office doing work. A lot of full-time employees I noticed don't talk to the people who are cleaning in the kitchen, from everyone who's cleaning the bathroom, people who are at the front desk. There's just a very like elitism that comes with working in the tech industry. Most of the people I hang out with are contractors, and we happen to be the only underrepresented minorities on my team specifically. At Salesforce, it's very apparent who's a contractor and who's not just by looking at someone's badge. Recently, we just got our new badges, and The entire badge is yellow to signify you're a contractor, and the entire badge is green if you're full-time. As a contractor, you're treated like you're dumber, like you're lesser than everyone else. People talk to you, like, excuse me, like, I have a college education. I went to this fantastic school, and yet somehow you're still talking to me like I don't understand what you're saying. I've had some of my coworkers, I've walked into them in the bathroom having breakdowns. I'm talking about some of my black coworkers, some of my brown coworkers. They were having anxiety attacks during their first couple weeks and trying to figure out, am I the only one who feels like this? Like, why is no one else talking to me? You do everything, right, that people tell you to do to be successful, and yet it's not quite enough. And people, you're given work, full load work, you know, full-time employee work to get paid half of the same amount. It's rough having these positions dangled over your head.
Let's go to Southern California, where the dispute between the Writers Guild of America and talent agents continues. Hollywood screenwriters are firing their agents. I spoke to screenwriter John Gary about this and asked him if he feels like he's in free fall right now.
Writing in Hollywood is always difficult. It's always a free fall. There's never a time when you feel like you're on top of the world. Maybe the day after you win an Oscar or something like that. But even then, you still wake up the next morning and you're faced with a blank page, right? And this is the same thing. It's another blank page. And writers have been filling those pages for years and years and years. That's what we do.
Have you fired your agent? Did you have one?
I did have an agent. He is a good friend. He's a really great agent. We've been talking consistently throughout this whole process, and he knows that I'm fully in support of what the union is looking to accomplish here, and so he was fully expecting that I'm not his client as of Friday at 5 o'clock, whatever it was.
Your friends, though, what have your conversations been like? I mean, how do you explain this to him? And I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall.
You know, I think because we are good friends, and his wife is a writer too, so our conversations are a lot about what kind of common ground can the guild and the agents figure out.
Is there common ground? I mean, do you see a place that where something could be worked out just personally?
There will always be common ground between agents who love writers and the writers who know that they are taken care of by their agents. The place where we don't seem to have common ground now is between the writers and the agencies.
So if you had a script right now, how would you as a writer get in touch with the studio or whoever wants to take your script and make it into a TV series or a movie? I mean, what's the new playbook? Do you have any idea?
I have a manager and I have a lawyer. And so my playbook would be basically what it was before I had my agent. In the end, agents don't hold a monopoly on access to employment.
And that's the California Report for Tuesday, April 16th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Polly Stryker.
And I'm Penny Nelson. Have a great day.
Support for the California Report comes from Energy Upgrade California, urging Californians to keep it golden through simple acts like unplugging unused devices. EnergyUpgradeCalifornia.org. Bridge Bank, a division of Western Alliance Bank, offering flexible financial solutions to entrepreneurs and to the technology and life science communities. Bridge Bank, be bold, venture wisely. And Collective Health. American employers are in the healthcare business. It's time they add the technology to drive it. CollectiveHealth.com.